Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Welcome, Reverend Mike Duncan.
Praise God. Love you. Get everything. Put my Kleenexes over there. Y'all know me by now, don't you? Hey, Cliff might get up and run around. I'll just start bawling like a baby when the Spirit runs all over me. Because I just don't feel, why me? You know? Whew. That's what gets you. You know, it's like, man, why did you care enough? Why'd you love me enough? Why did you do what you did for me? And then you see other things going on. It's like some people don't go there. You know, some people didn't get that chance here. And it's like, wow, you know, but you spared me for such a time as this. Such a time as this. Isn't it beautiful? And in this time, it's the time of Thanksgiving, isn't it, the coyote? He said he don't like to talk, but I tell you what, I couldn't tell. He'll sing, talk, dance, and all that stuff. He'll do it. I've been there with him. I've been in the mission field with him, brother. It starts getting stirred up on him, too. He'll let it fly. And that's what we're supposed to do. When the Spirit of God stirs up inside of you, you let it go. You let it go. Pastor John prayed for me a while ago as we got here. I'm going to try to stay there. Maybe y'all have to get a wide angle on me because I get moving. He said, he started praying. He said, oh, let the living waters flow. I tell you, it was almost my fourth trip to the bathroom already. I told him, I said, bro, we might not need to pray that no more. He said, well, hey, the natural's got to come first, right? Amen. And it does. First the natural, then the spirit. We have to go through what we've been through prior. But that doesn't mean that we're still not going to go through things current. Okay? Because all that stuff is molding us and growing us into the likeness of Christ. Because that is the will of God, that they see the Son and believe unto eternal life. And there's more in that will, and we're going to get in there. But this thing of thanksgiving, I'm going to go ahead and just read Psalms 100. If y'all want to put it up, I'll read what I have here. I think I'm in what translation? The MEV, but I know whatever it is. But I'll just go ahead and read it because we all know this thing. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. It's just beautiful. You know, we go through Thanksgiving season, and what Mike said, you know, it's all the time. It's all the time that we need to be thanking him. Enter into his presence with thanksgiving. His courts with praise. You know, that's just a beautiful, beautiful analogy if we can just see that. His presence. How many enjoy his presence? How many? That's how you have to enter in his presence. With thanksgiving, that worship. He said he inhabits the worship of his saints. So we're not going to inhabit him and his presence without thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and worship, praise. Because see, that's the revelation that we have to have. What has he done for you? Nothing. Nothing is nothing. Anything and everything is anything and everything. So that's where we go, and that's where we're going, and that's where I want to kind of break it down today. It's so much to break down. I had a pastor that was never preach everything, son. I might have been up there a little long. Might have run a red light or two. But don't preach everything. Never give them everything you got. Well, okay. I don't think that's possible. You know, he'll pour in and pour in and pour out and pour out. But if you don't ever pour out, you can't get filled up. You know? So I just want to let it out. Sometimes it might be like a tidal wave or a tsunami, you know, but maybe a little trinkle. I've never gave one of those. So it's all or nothing with me, and that's how it was in my past. It's all or nothing, and it still is. I like to do things big. I don't know. It's just the way he made me. And I'm not going to ask for, you know, excuses of it and apologize for who I am. I'm not. Because God has made me that way. Even when I didn't even understand why he made me that way. When I didn't understand why he chose me. But he did. And I'm grateful and I'm so thankful for that. Because each and every one of us, you know, we are perfectly made. We are perfectly made. How does something imperfect make something, how does something perfect make something imperfect? Just, we are perfectly made for the destiny that he created us for. That's where I'm standing, and I'm not moving off of that. We're all different, and we're all fitly tied together. And before the end of this thing, time constraints are on me, I know it. You're going to understand a little bit more how he ties everybody and everything together by his love, by the life. Michael said, life is real. Yes, it sure is. Because Jesus is life. Jesus is life. And I know that we have these little sayings, life is hard. Life is hard. No, let's just stop that. Stop it. Life is good. Because life is Christ. The world is hard. The world is hard. And us being in it is hard. But when we enter into that presence with thanksgiving, in his gates, with courts, with praise, the world disappears. It does. It does. All that matters is that moment. You know why? Because that's what he is. The moment. Always. He's always the moment. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. When you're eternal, my goodness, it's not about the past. It's not about the future. It's not about the present. Well, it is about the present because it's always present. It's always present with God. Time only has constraints on the human being. Not the spirit. It's eternal. So, that being said, in all things let us give thanks. What a beautiful story and testimony that we heard with Cliff. And last week, man, it's so beautiful, so beautiful. That's the power. That's the power. We overcome by what? The word of our testimony. The blood of the Lamb. And to shrink from death. Why do we fear death? If Jesus is the resurrection and the life, why do we fear death? It's just things that we got to grow into, mature, and grow up, and understand about who our God is, what he's done for us, and have our being in that. Growing up, I was talking to Pastor John, it's like, hey, you know, why did he just give you a new life? Why are you born again? Is that it? Just to be born again? Woohoo! Born again, man. Woo! Good. I'm new. Well, listen, you're a baby then. You're an infant. You're helpless. You need somebody to do everything you can for you. What if we looked around and that's how we see everybody here today? Who's going to be the parent? Who's going to take care of everybody? Sometimes they say there's only like, what, 5%, 10% of the body of Christ that does all the work? Everybody else is babies. My goodness, I got a lot of babies. And they get on my nerves. Oh, sure, we got moments. Just like when I'm out there working on the farm, daggone, I need some help around here. We do. I do. I need help. So he bursts you into this kingdom so that you can grow up and be of good help. Just like it was, hey, I did a funeral Tuesday of my uncle, and they were married 67 years. 67 years. And you know, hey, it's not good for man to be alone. Let's create a helpmate. See, this unity goes all the way back, doesn't it? We need a helpmate. We need a helpmate. Jesus needs a helpmate. The bride of Christ. Come on. I don't know if y'all getting this or not. Maybe we need to slow down a little bit. Jesus. I go back to Taxi. I don't know if y'all old enough to see that Taxi, boy. What's the yellow light mean? Oh, Jim. Slow down. What does? I laughed at that when I was a kid growing up. I laughed. It's hilarious. Maybe y'all didn't get that episode, Taxi. I did it. Old Jim. Jim wasn't always like that either, was he? Them old brownies. Give thanks for all things. You know, it's so easy when you sat around probably this week and gave thanks over the food that you was about to receive. Was that a hard thing to do? Show of hands if it was hard for you. Maybe afterwards it got a little hard to even lift your hand. But during that time, it wasn't too hard to give thanks. Anybody ever read the life about George Mueller, his testimony and the life that he come through? I had a guy, I don't read many books other than the 66 that God got right there, but every now and then I'll veer off and read something else. Well, somebody laid a book in my hand about George Mueller. He said, you remind... It's good. You know, again, you look back, it's like, my goodness, how could I remind you of anything good? You know what I mean? Then you put on the eyes of Christ. He said, but you remind me, your faith reminds me of George Mueller, and I just want you to read his testimony and what God did through him. And one day, it's funny, you didn't want to go to church, did you? See, when I go to jails and stuff, I've been there, you know, and I went to church in jail only because I wanted to get out, you know. It's okay. I'm going to go please somebody else. I'm going to do it for you. I'm not doing it for me, not doing it. But listen, God knows. He knows. He's going to get you there where you need to be. Whether it's for wrong ideas or ideologies, whatever, he's going to get you there, right? So George Mueller, he wanted to go be a preacher because back then it was very, very, prestigious and wealthy, you know, to be a preacher. So that's where he wanted to go. There was another thing that I wanted, but I didn't want to be a preacher. But then when he got in there, it was all for the wrong motives, right? He wanted for the lifestyle and the prestige and things, but God used that, and eventually what he did is met a girl, hallelujah. I met a girl. I did too one day. Wasn't even looking for her. She's a blessing. But he changed his attitude because he liked the girl. And she went to what? Bible studies. And he went into the Bible studies because he wanted to go to the bar afterwards because he was a big drinker. But then he said, well, I really like her. And so she said, well, if you want to go out with me, you have to go to this Bible study. So he started going, and eventually he looked around. He says, these people don't act the same as religious folk. There's something different. Enter the Holy Ghost. He's real. He's real. And when you see that real, you know real. Because back in the day. Real knows real now. So he knew something was different. He seen a realness. He seen them really entering in the presence of God with thanksgiving and entering into the courts with praise. Because evidently they had an encounter with Yeshua. And they had the Spirit of God that bears witness of who he is. That abides in us, that we will bear witness of who he is. So, George met Jesus. And he got the Holy Ghost. He got the Holy Ghost so much that he started saying, well, we got to sell everything we got. There's people. It was during the Black Plague, I think it was. Everybody started dying and all these things. And hey, old George, bro, he'd walk right through the midst of all of them laying down just to go through these kids. And then he said, oh, these kids. Oh, these kids. Their parents are dying. What are we going to do? He started wanting to do an orphanage. One day, one of the orphanages, he started growing. It grew. He had multiple orphanages. He had a compound. It became a university today. There were so many buildings and houses and stuff there. And now it's like a university. Isn't that something? And he didn't have a window or a pot. You can fill in the blanks. Kelly said that this week. Well, he didn't got a pot. I said, well, at least we got a window. Be who you are in the Spirit of God, okay? And that's what I'll try to do. Not even try. I don't even like the word try. It's just a cop-out. Either you do or you don't. One to the other, okay? That's freebie. So George, they come to him, hey, Mr. Mueller, we don't have any food for these kids. What do you mean we don't have any food? He said, we don't have any food. He said, where are the kids at? He said, they're around the table waiting on food. We don't have any. He walked in. He said, everybody get up. Just like Pastor did. Everybody stand up. Everybody stood up. He said, grab your plates. They grabbed their plates. He said, let's give thanks. Let's give thanks for our food that we're about to receive. And they're like, huh? I can imagine those kids. Okay, but what did they do? They were obedient. And they said, we thank you. They went to the prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the food we're about to receive. And as soon as they probably said amen, it's kind of like how it's written in his book. A knock on the door. Guess who was at the door? The baker. The baker. He says, I've been up since like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Someone told me to make a bunch of bread. And when I got it finished, he said, bring it over here to such and such address. And so here I am. And do y'all need some bread? He said, matter of fact, we do. Come on in. And as soon as the baker walked out, there's another knock on the door. Guess who that was? It's the milkman. The wheels done fell off the wagon right outside the door. We got some milk, and we need to use it, because if we don't, you know, back then, it's ice blocks, right? It's going to spoil, and it's all going to ruin. Could y'all use some milk? Well, if it's a lie, he told it. But you testify, right? That's your testimony. If you're going to stand in that testimony, then won't you stand in it and don't you testify? And why don't you write a book about it? Why don't you tell the world what God's done in the moments and the things? Said the spirit of prophecy is in this house. Because we're willing to testify, edify, build up the body. Why? Because this world's hard. We don't understand everything that happens to do. We need to be lifted up. We need to be encouraged. We need to give thanks for all things. All of it. Look what he says over in Thessalonians. Paul wrote a letter to Thessalonica, and he wrote a letter to Ephesus. And like Ephesians 5 and 1 Thessalonians 5, they pretty much overlap. Praise God. I hope they both in the bathroom. If not, they've gone to have a baby. Eric and Allie. Hallelujah. They're a little late coming in this morning. I said, well, they might be at the hospital. It's good. You can't hardly see much up here with these lights, but I tell you, you can still see. But in the letters that Paul wrote, he says over there in 1 Thessalonians, I'll be in 5, and like I said, in Ephesians 5, they pretty much overlap each other. They're real close in the words and the things that Paul's writing, because I believe it's very important. A lot of his writings kind of stay on course. He never really veered off his course, except when he was in that big boat wreck, you know, shipwreck. But he still didn't veer off course. He said, don't get off this boat. Don't you get off this boat. He didn't get off the boat. It says over there in the 16th, and so I'm just going to go ahead and read through these right quick and go all the way through the 22nd verse, but I'm going to kind of highlight one verse in there, and I'm kind of run with that. I think in January, I'm going to try to, over in Sunday school, I think we're going to kind of break these down in these verses and kind of walk through those, try to edify the body and why it's so important that we do these things. He says, first one, rejoice always. Okay. This comes from a man who's down in the dungeons of the depths of the prisons. I've been there, but not like he has. Because prison, I tell you today, is nothing like it was then. When you're down in the dungeons there, there's no concrete. Call it now on the slab. That's what they said when I was there. Oh, we're on the slab. You know? You're weak, you're beat. You're strong, you live long. That's your slogans when you go in there. Paul's down there where the rats eating his stuff. Got to knock them out or even eat them. I don't know. Can you imagine living in something like that, being in prison, but then yet he's still going to say, I'm going to rejoice. Philippians, he said the same thing. I'm just going to like give you a visual. Because without a vision, people perish, right? We want to see what's going on. Put a vision out there. Then he goes on to say, pray without ceasing. Okay. That reminds me back what Jesus told the disciples over there when he went to pray. They come back, they wasn't praying. He said, hey, pray that you don't enter into temptation. So we always got to pray. And I'll elaborate on that too as we break it down over there. But then he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything good, Eric Moore? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. We got a lot more, don't we? No matter what, we got a lot of time. So the next verse, he goes on to say, do not quench the spirit. Okay, y'all with me on that one? Do not despise prophecies. When somebody's testifying and glorifying the Lord, don't despise them. You know, don't even question, well, is that true or not? Because I'm telling you, I've been there. I've had clergymen tell me that my testimony of my encounter with Christ, my Damascus Road experience, is not theologically sound. They don't add up, son. You can't tell your testimony here. Probably couldn't happen that way. Well, I didn't add anything to it. It's what happened. If I'm lying, I'm lying. But, you know, if I'm lying, I'm still dying too. But I ain't dying no more. I already did that. There's another day coming, but it ain't a dying day. It's a moving day. Hallelujah. Woo. Every man owes a death, but then judgment. Jesus said, now you stand judged right now by the words that have been spoken. Anyway, here we go. Abstain from all appearances of evil. I could camp out there for a little while, but I'll hold that for January, okay? But let's go back to the praying without ceasing, but in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, over in 5:20 Ephesians, Paul says, in all things, give thanks. Right? He said, pray. How can we always give thanks? It's easy, you know, now. For Tagayo, which is my twin name for Michael Henderson. And Jen, to give thanks. Okay? For Gavin. And the miracles that's been taking place in his life. But how do you think it was when they first got the news? When they're being flown and rushed to the hospital. How do you think that's going over? Are we supposed to give thanks right then? Are we supposed to be rejoicing? Well, in the midst of the war, it's very hard to give those thanks and to rejoice and be glad. Because we don't know it all. We don't know how our life's going to end. We don't know how we're going to take our last breath. We don't know how that's going to be with our children. It's like my aunt that had the funeral for my uncle, her husband, 67 years. In the last 2 years, she's buried her daughter, my cousin. She's buried my dad, her brother, her baby sister, and then her other baby sister, and now her husband within 2 years' time. And now she's like, what are we going to do? But she still has one son. But you just, how are we going to give thanks for that? How are we going to rejoice in that? You know, now we see the miracles. We can rejoice with our brother and sister. We can rejoice in things that we see that God moves, the miracles. But how is it when we're in the midst of it? Can we still do those things? Or better yet, how can we still thank God and rejoice when he don't even answer our prayer? And it don't go the way we expect it to. And there's an ending to it. What are we going to do then? You know that song, I'm going to testify a little bit too. Can I do that? All right, thank you, Holy Ghost. This giving thanks, I'll get there, okay? I'm going to get there. I got back up because I need to give this right here. let me try to pronounce it in Greek and do it justice. It's hard for a southern boy to do it. I had a Spanish brother, Mexican brother, telling me, he said, what are you saying? I said, Paquito. He said, you saying Paquito or Paquino? What you saying? I said, little. Well, no, that ain't what you said. If you say Paquito, you saying little kisses. Little kisses. I said, well, mucho Paquito. He looked at me. He said, okay, brother. That's good. Yuhach is teo. Is thanks. Okay, and even when Jesus, we just had Thanksgiving. You know the first Thanksgiving wasn't on Plymouth Rock? It was on rock. On a solid rock. When Jesus fed the 5,000, I believe that was the first Thanksgiving. Because he said that Jesus did what? He took the loaves and the fishes and he looked up and he gave thanks. And everybody ate. That's the first mega church too. People, that's nothing new under the sun. So he said that. And, you know, in those words that you, you know, it's got that little hach to it. You haches tail. You know. And it goes back. But I just wanted to get that out because I wanted to teach a little bit. We laugh a little too hard, brother. It's okay. Give thanks, right? Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. But let it be a sincere heart to it, too. It's okay. It's okay, right? It's okay. If you laugh at me, it's okay. You know, it's good. All things. But as we move forward, we want to give that thanks and everything, but how can we do that? You know, and yeah, we go ahead and kiss. I need to get it out. that song. I hear the sounds of the bones rattling, dry bones rattling. I claim that song. Let me get through this one. I claimed that song back in August. I claimed it. I claimed it. Because on August the 2nd, we went for an ultrasound of my little boy. And there wasn't no sound. There was no sound. What? Again? 3 years to the day, Lily had no sound either. Is that not unbelievable? But it's believable, isn't it? Because God, how you say that word in the Greek? All-knowing? Omniscient. He's omniscient. And so I claimed that, and then when first we start making phone calls, and we're standing, brother, Pastor Terry, you know, we claiming life, man. He's resurrection. Which is what says that song, right? Resurrection power. We claimed it, so I'm standing on it. I mean, and I know that there's other people who've experienced people losing their last breath, and we claiming that they're going to live, they're going to grow, it's going to be okay to our standards and our understanding. It's going to be, hey, Jesus is a resurrection and life. I'm not moving off of that. Well, he is. Without a doubt, he is. He is. Same yesterday, today, and forever. So as we're sitting in that park lot, just in awe, shock, you know, and just claiming this. It's like, well, we're going to come back to deliver. Well, we went on Friday, which was the 6th. We want another ultrasound. I believe there's going to be a live baby in there. Sorry. Okay, well, it's not over with yet. We still got time, don't we? Well, went through the night. Kelly going through what she's going through. I mean, it's hard, very hard. Not again. You know? My God, he loves me. He hears me when I cry. He does. He does. But sometimes it's not the outcome that you think. Because there's another person and reason of things going on. It's not, can we just slow down for a minute? It's not all about you. And a lot of times we pray in conviction all about us. That's what we want. Well, what does God want? What's his plans? I have a plan for you that you shall prosper in a future hope. True story. I'm not wavering. It's still true. Pastor John asked, what was his name? You know, Kelly already told him, be praying for Ezekiel Stone. I said, Ezekiel Stone? His name not Stone. That's probably why we're not seeing a resurrection. His shine. He's going to shine. He's going to come forth. He's going to be illuminator. That's what word I got. That's what I feel in my spirit. Ezekiel, prophet to nations, dry bones. He's going to resurrect life. He's going to be that man. He's going to shine. He's going to be illuminator. He's going to be alive when we go back in there. He was. But not the way we want to look at it. See, God gives souls, right? I'm telling you, if he gave a soul, it's alive. And it's not going to see death no more. Listen, Jesus is the resurrection and life. Paul wrote of Timothy, he's the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. He is. Well, there's still no heartbeat. So without saying, we sitting there at the hospital and the nurse comes in and they ask the name. Without even hesitation, my wife said, Ezekiel Stone. John. You looked at me, what is it? Stone. Go ahead. Stone. It's not like it's going to matter anyway, is it? Or is it? So the nurse said, I'm Mary Elizabeth. My goodness. You know, Mary Elizabeth. That was the name of my grandmother. Who Priestley Rose was named at. Jubilee. Jody Ann. The babies. Got a bunch of them. But he keeps all the names straight, unlike me. Mary Elizabeth. As soon as she said that, man, it's like, wow. And then here goes my wife laying in a hospital bed. And boom, she unloaded on this nurse. I just sat by and said, my goodness. She testified, just kept giving God praise, giving him thanks for the things. And here you are laying here about to deliver a second dead baby. No. It was just a vessel. That carried the soul that God gave already and the spirit, right? So as time went on and the nurse went out and she looked over at me, I say, honey, you gave her both barrels. There's something going on here. Something going on here. And so we went through the night and didn't have, and it's like, wow, what are we going to do? And still, you know, no baby, no heartbeat, no life. We're on the monitor. God's not showing up. Or was he already in the mist and I just didn't know it? We want to give thanks, right? We want to rejoice always. What the word says, just like you, if you want to be a good Catholic, you better eat fish on Friday, right? We do what we're supposed to do. We want to be obedient. So we're doing these things, going through the motions, right? Going through the motions of this stuff just because that's what we're supposed to do. But where's the heart? Where's the sincerity of these things? Do you actually believe, Martha? I'll have to look at you for a minute. I am the resurrection and life. Do you believe this? Do you actually believe this, guys? And ladies, do you believe that he actually is the resurrection and the life? I'm telling you, when you start going through some things and you start seeing like it's going to be death and things aren't coming out how you want to, you still going to call him the resurrection and the life? Are you still going to stand on the promises of God? Are you still going to give him rejoice and enter in and with praise and thanksgiving? For what? For what? Won't you know that'll make you bitter as anything, boy, if you want to focus on the things through the carnal eyes instead of the spirit. He said, don't quench the spirit. Well, here we go. My wife, she's dilated now. We're about to give birth. There's still no heart beating. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be just a little body. Again. I mean, it's... And so we're sitting there, and I'm waiting, and here we go. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, a.m. And so I'm sitting there, and I hear the Spirit says, watch the clock. Watch the clock. So I'm holding my wife's hand, watching the clock. I'm really not in the mood, you know what I mean? To be obedient, to see what God's doing here. I want to be selfish. I want to be bitter. I want to be hurt. Just leave me alone. Let me be hurt for a little bit. So I'm watching the clock. 11:10. And so, like 11:10, it hits me. Okay, his name's Ezekiel. Chapter 11. 10th verse. Nope, here's 11:11. 11th verse. Nope, there's 12. There's 13. There's 14. There's 15. Oh, I feel it. I feel ahead. There it comes. 16, 17, 18, 19. Boom, 20. Right in there so quick, you know. There he is. Little Ezekiel Stone. Sitting there in a little hand. Lifeless, it seems. So, we ain't really even talked about much of this as far as grievance, and COVID hit our family, and we hadn't been able to come and grieve through this time. And, you know, a while back, we've had a celebration here, and we was talking about the goodness of God and how he answered prayers. Well, do we still believe when we don't get those prayers answered, you know, or we turn our head, and do we get bitter? Do we turn from God? Do we say our faith has failed us? Your faith can't fail you. It cannot fail you if you believe. It's when you don't believe when it fails you, but it's not that faith that's not failing. He's given each man a measure of faith. He's gave you enough faith to believe. It's up to you to grow that faith by that belief. By going through such as things as this. So I looked down and everything happened and you know, we settled down for a brief second. I reach over there and grab my Bible. I said, well, let's see what it is, Lord. Let's see what it is. And so I flip over there and I get to the 11th chapter. I don't have a clue. And I look for what I seen was 11:20. When I looked up, I seen 11:20. And so I read over here, and it said, you know, and this is just craziest stuff. Let me go ahead and just read the context of it. It starts over in 18, and it goes down, keeps on going. But there's a word of God that comes through. The word of God comes through Ezekiel right there. And in those verses, he says, when they come there, they shall take away. Here comes the word of the Lord. And it goes to 17. It says, therefore say this, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. All right? And it says, and when they come there, they shall take away all the detestable things and all the abominations from it. And he says, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinance and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And so I'm looking at it, and I seen the well 11:20. So right there, honey, it says that they may walk. This is so that we will walk in statues. And so old Mary Elizabeth comes walking in. Let's testify a little bit. She said, y'all were so strong. I said, I am weak as dirt. Weak as dirt. I'm told slap up over this, but listen to this little glimmer of hope right here. The Lord told me to look at the clock, and it was 11, and so it was Ezekiel, and I told her the whole rundown, you know, watch the clock. And I said, in 11:20, and she says, well, but it was 11:19. I said, huh? She said it was 11:19. I said, so I was off a little bit. And then I looked back, and what the 19th verse said. See, the 19th, I will give them one heart, and I will put the new heart I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take and give them a heart of flesh, and that there it goes, that I will take the stony heart out of them. Stone. You know, and last time I think I stood up here, you know what the message was about? This. What did I walk in here this month when Brother Darren had a list over there on the billboard and it's still over there and he's talking about the heart of stone and a heart of flesh, and I'm like, honey, look at this. And it's before I even got this right here where I'm standing right here today, for give thanks to the Lord in all things. And here we are looking at this board and hearing, and today he released that, spoke it, because he didn't speak the rest of the month, and he spoke it this morning. You know, I said, so here I am again, and we're testifying. So let me give a testimony about what God did in our life this year and what he's doing right now, and he's still moving. So, you know, I start saying that, and so I read those scriptures to Mary Elizabeth, and she's like, wow, you know, and I'm like, yeah, wow. And I'm like, but still, you know, but God says, you need to understand what I'm doing here. Ezekiel's alive. And as I release that to her, here she is over there washing him, cleaning him, and we're discussing his life and how that, you know, it's a, you know, we delivered a steel baby, and she's like, her mom, she starts testifying. Kelly told her about our marriage and our relationship, how we come together. She starts talking about right then and there about her mama and her daddy, that they wanted 100 kids. But there was only 4, right? I think it was 4 children. She was the oldest of 4. But she said she can't even count the miscarriages. She couldn't even count the miscarriages that her mom and dad had. And yet here she is, OBGYN, a nurse up there in delivery room. You know, the wounds that run so deep in Mary Elizabeth, the bitterness that hurt her so bad because she didn't get to see this family and her brothers and sisters, and here she is not having all the brothers and sisters. So she really is doing the things that God and the love of God, but she really was just up here with it and not understanding why she had to go through the things, and she was living out the wounds and the hurt by still being there for these kids and all this stuff, and she was like blown away, here's another one. But you know what? God used Ezekiel to heal her wounds. It wasn't for me and my wife. It was for Mary Elizabeth to be healed and to understand what the love of God, why she was sitting there rubbing that dead baby and cleaning it all up and had the love of God in her already. Why would she do such a thing? Because God was already working in her life, and he wanted to reveal to her how much he cared, how much he loved her, that he was still the resurrection alive. And then I was understanding then, hey, he removed it and put a tender heart in me. And he said, such a time as this. He said, my goodness, here we go. Without him taking a breath here on this earth, he changed the course of many people. A soul was given, and it is not in vain. So you tell me, how can we rejoice always? How can we continue to pray without ceasing? How can we always give thanks for all things? We get out of self. Jesus said over there, what do you do? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. There's no other option, guys. If you want life, you better get on the heels of Jesus. And you better follow him and not veer off. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how dark it gets, because I'm telling you, keep on reading over there in Thessalonians, or you go to Ephesians over there in 5, it talks about that you're going to be that light that shines up the darkness to reveal the stuff in this world. And you don't even have a clue what God's done to you already. And Jeremiah said, I formed you in that womb for such a time as this. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? Does Thanksgiving just go on a day or a week? Or should it be just ingrained inside of us? Yes. Know what you said? It's a lifestyle. Yes. It's who you are. That's what he birthed you for. And he gave you the opportunity to grow in his spirit and walk this earth to be a child of God so that your light can shine and they see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. They're going to do it. They're going to do this. But let them see who you are. Be who you are in the Spirit of God, and that light of life will radiate through you. Radiate through you. And you'll make a difference. It will not be in vain. The things that you go through, one of my home scriptures, that what? This, suffering is not worth compared. Don't even compare it to the glory that's going to be released through you. Well, where's your eyes at? You want to be bitter? You want to be ungrateful? Because last time I checked, if you're still standing right here, you still got a breath. I don't care what you look like, smell like, taste like, sort of act like, but you got a breath. You still got hope. He's not done with you yet. It's do you believe it or not? Are you going to walk this thing out? Are you going to continue to follow him? That's where it's all at. Will you have this Thanksgiving? Let the light shine upon you, in you, and through you. And if you're not there yet, it's okay. Come on. Walk with me. Walk with me. Let us walk together. That's what we're here for. That's what we come together for. I don't have to do it all by myself. It's for us. It's for him. It's already there. Let us grow in understanding. Let us seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and allow everything, not material stuff alone, but allow all those stuff to manifest and come unto you. Allow it. And if you're not believing and continue to just go through following him in that faith, then you're cutting your own blessing short. You're cutting it short. Do I agree with some of it? No, man. It hurts. Jesus said, take this cup away from me. But no, let your will be done. Not mine. That was an example for us to understand that this cup, let's all drink from it and still give thanks. Even hanging on the cross, Jesus was still giving thanks. All things. But we got to grow up. We need to grow in these things. It's 12:07. Speaking of growing. Well, the Lord worked in that pretty good right there. Because I was bawling my eyes out over here when that song come on and it all kind of wove together there before me. And I was like, phew. A song that I really don't even like to hear anymore. Be honest. Because it reminds me that I was let down. But was I let down? I really wasn't. No, I was really lifted up. Because without that, I couldn't be here testifying today. That's a testimony. That's the spirit of not despising prophecy. Don't despise the hardships and the things you go through. Okay? But look. Look deep in there. Ask the Lord why. And allow Him to reveal such a time as this to you so that you can glorify the Father, edify the body, and become who you are perfectly made to become. All right? That's about all I got to say about that. Online, that's good stuff right there. I don't know how many people's online, but I pray they got a blessing. You guys got a blessing out of it. Pastor Terry? Yes, sir, Cliff? Hey, it's good. But let me tell you something. What the old pastor said one time, he said, proclaim the good news. And when you have to, use words. You're living it, Cliff. You tell a tree by the fruit that it bears. He said, don't talk and let them see you, hear you talk. No, they said, let them see your good deeds. And they'll glorify the Father. Amen. I ain't gonna get started on that part of it. Hallelujah. I'm glad each and every one of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I believe you did. I'm just gonna speak that forthright. And if there's anything that you feel bad about that's going on in your life right now, prayer line's open, the altar's open. Let's lay it down and kill it. Sacrifice it to God. Say, it's yours. It's not mine. It's yours. So whatever I'm going through, Lord, it's your deal. Help me have understanding. Help me know what I'm supposed to go through now. Help me exalt you in my life and walking through and revealing this testimony of testifying who you are, the spirit of prophecy, because that's what reveals it to our others, okay? If you feel that way, the prayer line is open right now. If you need prayer, hey, it says the spirit of Elijah. You know what that spirit is? That spirit is for you to prepare the way of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? He's given that to us. His spirit to prepare the way of the Lord. We'll pray right quick. We'll be dismissed. Stand to your feet. Might as well. That's how Pastor Terry would do it. Because that's what we got to do. Jesus said, if you stand, you'll save your souls. Stand in it. Where else are you going to go? Father, I thank you for that love and that life and your Holy Spirit. I thank you for each and every one that you have created right here. First comes the natural, then comes the spirit, Lord. We all have been born of the natural. And Lord, I pray to this day that we will be born and have been born of your spirit. That we will walk and grow in your light, in your righteousness. That we will become who you've created us to be. So the world can see you and come unto you. And receive that same joy and life and thanksgiving that you give so abundantly. Let us be who you are, Lord God. Let us grow into that. And we just bind up any lie that tries to tear us down and fear or doubt to persuade us to go a different direction. That we will stand on your promises of your truth. and release your kingdom upon us, in us, and through us. By the name of Jesus, it will be done, because that is the name that breaks every chain. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.